This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A bit later in the program, we'll get an update on severe acute respiratory syndrome, or SARS. We'll also get an update on how the Space Shuttle Columbia investigation is going. But first, while the world's attention has been turned toward the SARS illness, a current outbreak of Ebola, you know, the Ebola virus in West Africa, has killed over 120 people, according to the World Health Organization. This Ebola outbreak may be one of the reasons that the ape population in West Africa is in trouble. According to our first guest, the ape population has suffered a catastrophic decline in the past 20 years. The number of chimpanzees and gorillas in the region has been cut in half, he says. The apes in Gabon and the Democratic Republic of Congo are being threatened on two fronts, by that Ebola virus and by hunters looking for meat. What can be done to save the last apes in the Western Africa? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about, because if the population disappears, will that spell the end for gorillas and chimpanzees in Africa? Are they going to become extinct? We'll talk about it. Give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And as always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com for more information. Let me introduce my guest. Peter Walsh is a visiting research fellow at Princeton University. He joins us by phone. Thanks for talking with us today, Dr. Walsh.
My pleasure, Ira.
What is the ape population that you study? Where is it? Give us a little.
It's in Western Equatorial Africa. It's a group of about six countries that lies right on the equator, sort of in the armpit of Africa there. And the country is Republic of Congo, not Democratic Republic, which is the big country that used to be called Zaire, is democratic, and we're in the other one.
You're in the Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
What is the main threat? I mentioned that there was this outbreak of Ebola. Give us an idea of the kinds of threats that this poses.
There are two main threats. One is commercial hunting. Gorillas and chimpanzees are eaten there. And the other one is this Ebola virus. And they're both, you know, as far as we can tell, they're both about equal at this point. The hunting threat is more certain, and it's been going on for longer. And if we don't do something about it, it's sure that that's going to wipe out most of the animals in that region. The Ebola threat is a little bit more recent, and it's a little bit more uncertain, but it's burning really fast right now. It's already killed, you know, tens of thousands of gorillas and chimpanzees.
Mm-hmm. And why hasn't it killed, you know, what is the death rate among them, and why doesn't it wipe everyone out?
It's killed, I mean, the data is not fantastic on this, to say the least, but it's looking that it's more, in humans it kills about 80% of people, and in chimpanzees and gorillas it's looking like somewhere between 90 and 95% of individuals get infected eventually die.
And so maybe, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, maybe even higher, I mean, maybe as high as 99%.
Mm-hmm. And so why are there still any alive if you're talking 99% here?
Because the we're not exactly sure what's going on in the epidemic, whether this is just an epidemic in apes, or there are probably other animals involved, and the whole thing is kind of a mystery at this point. And so it's slowly burning across space, and it's wiping out most of the animals in its path, but it leaves pockets of them all alive.
Has it spread to the human population, or is this just staying within that ape population?
Sure. What's happened is that since 1994, there have been, depending on how you count, four or five different human outbreaks. So it'll burn across space. The ape epidemic will burn in space until it reaches a populated area, and then people will hunt in that area, and they'll kill an animal that's been infected, or they'll find a dead one, and then they'll handle that, butcher it, eat it, and then they'll get infected too, and then you'll have a human outbreak. And then that will go on for a few months, and then it'll die out. But the wildlife outbreak is going on the whole time.
Are they hunting these animals for commercial purposes, or are they hunting like sports hunting we do for deer, things like that?
No, this is for food. And it used to be that gorillas and chimpanzees were just hunted by local villagers for their own consumption. But there's been a really explosion of logging in the region over the last 15 years or so, and the loggers cut roads in these really remote areas, and that allows hunters to get into the area and hunt and then bring the meat out to market. So the meat will often travel, you know, hundreds of miles.
And so what is being done about this?
The hunting part, there have been a variety of strategies tried. What hasn't been tried enough is just plain old anti-poaching and law enforcement. It's not very politically popular, and so the tendency is for people to invest in other things that are sort of user-friendly and donor-friendly. But what really needs to be done about the hunting is a real crackdown on law enforcement.
Do the local officials think that everything is, you know, going well, and these are just some outside people coming in trying to take away, you know, our livelihood, our substance?
Well, it depends on which local officials you talk to. If you talk to the guys in the wildlife ministry, they're very frustrated because they, you know, they feel they don't get the backing they need from both, you know, both the other local officials or the international community, or et cetera. Other officials are more concerned about the people, and they want hunting to be wide open.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones and take some calls. Let's go to Greensboro, North Carolina. Hi, Paris.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
Question for you. I guess I'm a little disheartened by this conversation. I hear talking about these animals, and they do need to be protected and studied. However, in lieu of the SARS outbreak, we have 150 people that have been recorded dead in West Africa due to this Ebola virus. However, the concern is on these gorillas. And I guess, kind of poke further, there's a reason why these folks are killing these animals for meat. I believe that we need to maybe ask ourselves other questions and think about, I think it's rather insensitive to not think of the needs of the people of West Africa in relation to the Ebola virus. It seems like their deaths in relation to the SARS outbreak has really been lessened.
Peter?
Well, I mean, I've got a few answers to that. The first is that if we're going to be able to stop people from catching these kinds of viruses, we have to understand what's going on in the wildlife populations. That's where these diseases come from, and they're really ignored in this because of the kind of sentiments that the caller has expressed. Most of the research on in this area is done on humans and not in wildlife populations. My other response is that there's 8 billion people in the world, and they're growing at an annual rate of about, 3% or something like that, 4%, whereas there are a few tens of thousands of gorillas, and they're declining at an annual rate of 5 to 10%. So, yes, I myself am more worried about gorillas and chimpanzees because they're on their way out of there soon.
So you're not concerned about the people who might be getting Ebola?
I'm concerned about the people who are getting Ebola. Sure I am, but there's a huge, you know, medical human health industry out there and sector that deals with that problem, and there are vast amounts of money spent on that. But there's a very, very, very little amount. The wildlife budget for the country of Gabon last year was $60,000. So I'm not saying, you know, don't help people. In fact, by doing this work in wildlife, we're going to be helping people.
So you're saying that people can help themselves, but there are no champions for the apes out there.
There are plenty of champions for people. There are very few champions for apes.
Has it spread to people? Can you catch it from?
Oh, that's where people are getting it from. Yeah. They're killing animals in the forest and then eating the meat, and the animals are infected, so they get sick.
I think Paris, is asking what conditions are there among the people? And tell me if I'm wrong, Paris, on this that make them hunt apes for meat to have to eat them.
That, in addition to. I don't feel that there's a coincidence that the world's attention is turned towards Asia, where the SARS outbreak is, instead of West Africa, where 150 folks are dying from this, numbers are continuing from the Ebola virus. I do understand the work that you're doing. There must be people who are advocates for animals. However, I feel that it's an insensitivity towards the folks of West Africa who are susceptible to this. And I'll just take the rest off air.
Okay.
Thanks.
You know, there's not much I can do to convince you on the phone that I care about the people there. I work there. I've worked there for 10 years. A lot of my friends are there. And so I am concerned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I get the impression that you are also. But I think what she was saying is that, you know, everybody's talking about 120 SARS deaths, and you got more deaths, 110, and you got more deaths from Ebola than you do from SARS, and no one's paying any attention because people don't care about what's going on in Africa.
That's a general phenomenon. I mean, people generally don't care about what's going on in Africa in the developed world, but I mean they should, because I'll tell you, you know, people are worried about SARS getting into the United States, but the mortality rate from SARS is about 5% in humans. The mortality rate in humans from Ebola is 80%. And so if Ebola gets on a plane, which it could, and comes over the United States and maybe gets lodged in our wildlife populations, like we've seen with West Nile viruses now in all the wildlife populations, Ebola comes over here, then all of a sudden it is going to be a problem for the United States.
And why is this outbreak being contained then? Why don't we hear more of about traveling around?
Because right now it's in that area it is being contained. The human health ministries in Congo are pretty aggressively stopping people from moving out of there.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think should, you know, besides having local officials crack down on poaching laws,
mm-hmm.
anything else?
Well, it's for the Ebola epidemic, what needs to be done is that we need to go in and proceed on two different tracks. One is a sort of basic research track in which we do basic field research and try to figure out what the dynamics are in the wildlife populations. We don't know, mm-hmm. you know, we do not know what's going on in terms of very well. And the other track is to go out there and trying to act like medicine has always acted and try experimental interventions and see if this works and then try that and see if that works. And there are some leads we have on that.
Vaccines?
Yeah, well, there have been some vaccine trials in monkeys in the lab, and they look promising, but the process of converting a vaccine from the lab to the field is one that takes several years, and so that's on track. Another thing is apparently there is some evidence that rivers act as a barrier to the disease because a lot of the animals who have it don't readily cross rivers, and so we need to go out and clear out some rivers and see if that knocks the epidemic down.
Let me see if I can get a quick call from a listener. And Ann in Minnesota. Hi, Ann, quickly.
Hi. I'm concerned about the extinction aspect of this. Everybody's sort of up in arms, it sounds like, or the scientific community, because we may lose chimpanzees and gorillas. I was just in Australia in the rainforest, and the naturalist was upset with scientists who figure out that, or who assert that people ought to take control of that, and that extinction is always bad.
So let nature work its course.
Right. That's what he was saying, and we none of us want to lose gorillas and chimpanzees. And, you know, and obviously we need to stop the spread of disease to humans, but the extinction aspect of this is interesting.
Peter?
I think that the whole idea of letting nature take its course is, it sounds great, but the fact is that, you know, we have intruded so much in every corner of the world right now, and there's so many people there that we're no longer talking about natural evolutionary systems that are just sort of ebbing and waning in the way they have forever. Over the last 100 or 200 years, the population, the human population in the world has just exploded, and we're just destroying habitats and species at a startling rate. And I think that in most cases, we're going to have to start, you know, intervening if we're going to stop it. Just the mass we're already in the middle of a mass extinction event as it is.
And so are you going to continue your research over there?
Yeah, I'm going to continue. I'm trying to find money from the federal government or from wealthy individuals or whatever to do something about this. It's kind of hard. Everybody just sort of says, yeah, that's terrible, and walks away. But we're trying.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and we'll keep in touch.
Okay, Iris, love your show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for coming on us, Peter.
My pleasure.
Peter Walsh is a visiting research fellow at Princeton University, and he joined us by phone from the campus there talking about what he feels is the possible extinction of the apes in Western Africa. And also, it was interesting to note about how quiet this Ebola epidemic. Well, I shouldn't call it an epidemic. The cases of Ebola are. At this point, more cases of deaths from Ebola than from SARS. So it'd be interesting to see and follow this and see how this plays out. Stay tuned because we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to switch gears again and talk about SARS and be joined by Dr. Edward Walsh at the University of Rochester School of Medicine. And we'll give you an update. So get on the line and maybe we'll be able to answer your questions about SARS. Stay with us.